Turn in your copies of God's Word to Matthew chapter 5. I will be reading from verse 27 to 30. This is the second part of our six-part series on the teachings of Jesus in a particular part of the Sermon on the Mount, what's called Sermon on the Mount. You may see in your Bibles subheadings there: salt and light, anger, lust, divorce, oaths, and retaliation. Maybe Jesus spoke about these topics in different times. Matthew, in God's Word, has arranged them in a place for purpose, as though Jesus is preaching one sermon that I believe is all joined together. They feed into one another, not looking at them topically. This, and then there's that, there's anger, and then there's lust, and then there's divorce, and there's oaths. Sure, they are, but they all come together on how kingdom people should live. Jesus is instructing his own disciples on how to live as kingdom people. Jesus speaks. It's the word of the Lord. You have heard that it was said, "You shall not commit adultery." But I say to you that everyone who looks at a woman with lustful intent has already committed adultery with her in his heart. If your right eye causes you to sin, tear it out, throw it away, for it is better that you lose one of your members than that your whole body be thrown into hell. And if your right hand causes you to sin, cut it off, throw it away, for it is better that you lose one of your members than that your whole body go into hell. The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God for his word. Let's pray. Jesus, be at the forefront of our minds as we look at your word and try and understand your teaching to your disciples, as we are then by extension your disciples, Lord, and to live as kingdom people. Because, Lord, is it just a matter of heaven that we'll begin to live as your kingdom people? Help us, Lord. Spirit, we ask and plead in Jesus' name that you will possess us, take over us, guide us, instruct us, lead us, transform us to be sons of God, like you, the great Son of God, Jesus. And in your name I ask this. Amen. Have you heard it said, action speak louder than words? Your doing says lots about who you are and what you believe, but wouldn't you say that sometimes a look speaks louder than actions? So it says more than words. That just by looking at someone, you can say more than doing anything, and that look, it says a lot. You may remember a while ago I spoke about the way that my mum would warn me about my behavior without even a word and without any action, without any action at all, without even her coming over to spank me. She would just point to her eye, and it meant oho, it meant I'm watching you, and it would stop me in my tracks. She would give the eye to tell me I am in danger. There's another gesture of giving the eye rather than warning of danger that puts me in danger. Giving the eye in the romantic sense. Giving the eye to someone, we all know what it means. I would go so far to say that even if you don't know what it means, when you see a man giving the eye to a woman, you all know what it means. My wife knows what it means. Most of you women know what it means. So when a man gives the eye to a woman, he has a purpose behind it. Without a word and without any action, that look is a seductive invitation. Giving someone the eye, looking at someone with the intent of instigating a romantic encounter. It should only ever be reserved for our wives. Jesus says that, look, that giving the eye to a woman that is not your wife, that without a word and without any action, is one of the most sinister looks, because it comes from the reservoir of lust within our hearts. And you know what it does? Because it comes from the reservoir of lust within our hearts, it proves man is constantly breaking the law of God from his heart. And that look is proof man is sinful from the heart. That sin in the heart expressed as a look, Jesus says, makes one liable to hell. Listen to what Jesus said, hear now the word of God in Matthew 5:27. He said, you have heard that it was said, you shall not commit adultery. But I say to you that everyone who looks at a woman with lustful intent has already committed adultery with her in his heart. See, Jesus warns the disciples, adultery doesn't begin with the act of sex. It begins with the intention of the heart, with the thoughts of the mind that then come out of the heart without a word and without an action. Jesus says, but by a look. See, Jesus here in this section of the Bible, of his sermon that we are so grateful has been documented for us, is continuing to expound the deeper meaning of the perpetual and the ongoing requirement of the Ten Commandments. He began with the sixth commandment. We looked at that. He says, you think murder is just physical? I say murder begins in the heart by anger. Now Jesus moves on to the seventh commandment. You think adultery is just the physical act? I say adultery also begins in the heart by lust. Jesus is teaching his disciples that the law was not only meant to curb our actions. The law of God, the Ten Commandments, is the law of the heart. It reveals God's heart, and when it's applied to us, the intent of the law was not merely to check the actions of men and women. It was to expose sin in our hearts, to show our lack of righteousness and cause us to need to be right with God. It was to bring people to repentance. The law was to transform the hearts and minds of people. It was supposed to transform me, sons of men, into sons of God. But it couldn't do that. And religion took over it. It wandered from the intent of the law. The religious elite of Jesus' time had taught the people that they just had to avoid doing the action and they would be righteous before God and men. Jesus says, you can't be right before God by dodging the evil and mechanically just doing good works. Because even a look, he says, is a violation of God's law, because the violation has happened in the heart. You have heard that it was said, you shall not commit adultery. You heard it before. You heard already that you shall not commit adultery. Don't do the act. Now Jesus says, but I say to you, everyone who looks at a woman with lustful intent has already committed adultery with her in his heart. You see where it's seated? Jesus is starting to talk to his disciples, but you've got these Jewish people behind him, and he's saying you lived by laws and rules and supposedly obeying the commands of God. Yet to violate the law of God, to commit adultery, Jesus says, begins in the heart well before it is committed as an act. You know what it does, and it shows about the standard of God for us? It shows us the impossibility of ever doing it precisely all the time. You know why? Because it's a heart issue. It's a heart issue in all our hearts. You and I, we're all broken inside. So then even when we act and do things, because we do things from the seat of our heart, has sin, even the actions that we do are laced with sin. And so that's why Jesus came to this earth, That's why Jesus has come. So that anyone who would repent of that sin in their heart and dare place their faith in Jesus as the Son of God, the forgiver of sins, by His righteousness, by His righteous acts, they shall be made right with God. And so we here gathered together like the disciples trying to hear a message from our Lord and Master. We may have the righteousness of God given to us through Jesus, but we're unaware of what do I do now? How are we to live in the kingdom? And this is what Jesus is teaching and how to live as kingdom people, as sons of God. When men read this, and rightly so, by the way, they are very nervous. You know, I'm not sure if any man is like me. You're reading this and you're saying, it's as though we can't even look at a woman. We need to know, what does Jesus mean here for kingdom people? What does Jesus mean here by everyone who looks? Firstly, Jesus does have his sights primarily on the man. Men cannot escape that. But I say to you that everyone who looks at a woman, men tend to look at women. And by the way, as a parenthetical side remark, so it should be for all time. Men looking at women. However, men, I want you to not despair so much. Don't be a victim. This looking is not a glancing. It's not just a woman's come into my periphery and I can't look. That's not the look that Jesus has in mind here. Nor does Jesus mean the looking is just a plainly observing another woman. What Jesus means is a man that lingers with a certain kind of looking. A man that leers at a woman, hoping to lock eyes with her. See that it's not any woman here in our passage. It has to be, it is a particular kind of woman that the man looks at. Everyone who looks at a woman with lustful intent has already committed adultery with her in his heart. So for her to commit adultery, or for him to commit adultery, she has to be a married woman. So it's not necessary. So Jesus has an agenda. He's going in a particular path. Sure, it's against the man that looks at all women and tries to leer at them and with lustful intent. But Jesus here is talking about a married woman, another man's wife, so as to commit adultery. Jesus has the violation of the seventh commandment here, adultery, having an affair with another man's wife, or to steal another man's wife, in his sights. And so now, before any man here comes to church with blinkers, lest he be charged with lusting after another man's wife because he happened to stare just a little too long for our liking at the woman, this looking is more than noticing, more than giving a long distance high. I do it all the time. You know, when you see a lady of the church and you look at her from afar and the smile of like, hello, good to see you. It's more than that. Jesus emphasizes what this looking entails. He says, everyone who looks at a woman with lustful intent has already committed adultery. So I want you to see, men and women too, that the kind of looking Jesus has in mind, the looking that Jesus has in mind is locking eyes with a woman with lustful thoughts, lustful intent, as a form of coveting your neighbor's wife. And so Jesus is also, you can see him connecting the 10th commandment of Exodus chapter 20, verse 17. You shall not covet your neighbor's house. You shall not covet your neighbor's wife. When you read this and you're trying to understand what Jesus is saying, there are two main understandings or meanings behind this coveting, this lustful intent that I would need you to start thinking about so you can understand what Jesus is saying. The first way that you can understand what Jesus means by this coveting, this lustful intent, is that Jesus may be driving at the man who leers at a woman and he plays out his sexual fantasies in his mind without her knowledge. So he's staring at her, and it's that creepy look that we know in the faces of stalkers, but she doesn't know it's happening. Or what Jesus means is the less creepy, but all the more destructive. That the man is eyeing a woman with enough of a suggestive look that she sees and knows what he wants, and he tempts her with this lustful look. He tempts her to accept his advancement so then he can live out his fantasies with her, all the while knowing she's married. I tend to think it's both of these. It's looking for self-pleasure without her noticing. But I do also believe that when men in particular, I know men very well, I happen to be one, that looking for self-pleasure almost without fail turns into a flirtatious leering. That said, I think since Jesus, look at the very next teaching, since Jesus follows with a teaching on divorce and breaking of marriages, I see Jesus addressing the sin of purposely looking at another man's wife, hoping to arouse a response. In other words, the man that says, I'm unsatisfied with my wife, and then starts looking at another man's wife and giving her the eye, hoping that she would accept, tempting her, hoping she would accept his advancements, so then eventually I can discard my wife, divorce her, and go with her. And that's why Jesus talks about divorce in the next step. So this kind of leering that's locked on the eyes of a married woman with lustful intent, with the look that depicts the man's sexual desire for that woman, it's not easy to disguise. That's why I commence this way. We all know what that look is called. It's giving the eye. So it's the purpose behind the look that makes it adultery. And see, that's Jesus' point. It's not that the man lingers and stares for too long. It's about the seductive glare at the woman. A man that gives the eye to another man's wife and tempts her with seduction to act out his advancements, to begin acting out what the man is already thinking, and to engage with the man with what the man has already been mulling over in his sexual mind. Jesus says, in that moment that he looks at her, this man has already committed adultery with her. You see it there? But I say to you that everyone who looks at a woman with lustful intent has already committed adultery with her in his heart. You see, what Jesus is doing is trying to tell the people in front of him, his audience, firstly his disciples, and then all the Jewish law keepers, that the sin against God, it's seated in your heart, not in the committed act, Jesus says. And once our heart has lusted and coveted after another man's wife, when a man has thought about adultery with a woman and then looks at her with what he's thinking and fantasizing, Jesus says, that's adultery. It's already committed, because that has been committed in the heart. The look with lustful intent, the giving the eye to the woman, is attempting to actualize the sinful desire that already exists in the heart. Now, why don't we set some application for us in Providence Church, shall we? Women, you are not to go out right now and buy a burqa. It's not what you do, all right? To cover your whole body, lest you tempt a man to give you the eye. No. We will not hide one of God's most beautiful creatures. That said, women, you now understand the warning Jesus issues to men, the proclivity of just about every man is to lust. It happens to women as well, but here we're keeping with Jesus' teaching addressed to men. So the biblical wise woman understands the dynamics between men and women. And she will adorn herself with modesty and according to what God is pleased with. You've heard this before, haven't you, ladies? In 1 Timothy 2:9, women should adorn themselves in respectable apparel with modesty and self-control, not with braided hair and gold and pearls or costly attire. In other words, what that means is don't show off. Not with your fancy hairstyles. We're no longer in the 80s. It's just... Or clothes or jewelry to make yourself appealing from the outer extremities. But God says through Peter, adorn yourselves with what God loves. And Peter says, with what is proper for women who profess godliness, with good works. Our good works is what God has prepared before time for each one of us, including women. And that is what you adorn yourself with. And women, I still need to remind you, merely reminding, nor should you return or look at a man that isn't your own husband with a look of invitation either. I guess that goes without saying. I pray to God it does. Men, the Bible never condemns looking at a woman that isn't your wife, and this may surprise you, or admiring her beauty. Nowhere. In fact, the Bible many times describes many women as possessing beauty, and they talked about how the men admired them without sin. To give a woman, men, to give a woman a compliment is not a sin. To look at her is not a sin. To talk to her is not a sin. That said, a look that lingers a little too long, that you know, should only be reserved for your wife, that is sin. And men, you know exactly what I'm talking about, don't you? In fact, my wife knows exactly what I'm talking about. I think every wife here knows what I'm certainly talking about. You know actually who knows the best about the eye are those that have had children. Sometimes you can't say anything, do any action, and when your children are young, you just got to communicate with your wife in a certain way that says, hurry up, we've got like 5 minutes. That I do not give to another woman. We all know what this means and looks like. That look, giving the eye, is for your wife only and not for anyone else's. Our compliments, men, they're quite straightforward. I give women compliments all the time. Do not give compliments to a woman that you know or think your wife thinks it should be reserved just for her. You get what I'm saying? I think you know what I'm saying, men. Don't give a compliment to a woman of the church that you think even, I said no, but I think even if you've got an inkling that your wife would think should be reserved solely for her, doesn't belong to anyone else but your wife. But when you do give a compliment to your sister in the church like you would your sister. Men, don't go giving the eye to anyone apart from your wife. And women, be careful not to entice a man to give the eye, regardless if either of you mean to act on it or not. You have all heard it said before, and this is, I think, what Jesus is saying. It's all fun and games until someone loses an eye. And this is the warning that Jesus has for his disciples. Keep your lives jovial. Keep your lives friendly. Do not let your mind, your thoughts, and lust, your heart, place you in a position that you then need to lose an eye. This is how he says it. Verse 29, if your right eye causes you to sin, your right eye, tear it out and throw it away, for it is better that you lose one of your members than your whole body be thrown into hell. And if your right hand causes you to sin, cut it off and throw it away. Jesus is speaking. It's not Wally. I know I tend to speak in hyperbole and exaggerate a lot. This is our master. If your right hand causes you to sin, cut it off and throw it away. For it is better that you lose one of your members than that your whole body go into hell. If your eye is causing you to sin, Jesus is radical, cut it off. We'll tear it out, he says. He says if your right hand causes you to sin, you know, you can cut that off. You see, it's about the purpose, isn't it? The way that we look, the way we speak. It's what's behind it. One look can be to encourage. The other look is to encourage into temptation. One look may be to say hello, and the other look is an invitation, a hello to adultery. You've got to ask, why does Jesus use such drastic warnings like this threat? After all, a look, Jesus says, exposes the threat of damnation in hell. We're going to be talking more and more about hell because Jesus talks more and more about hell. He repeats it there. You've got to know that Jesus believes hell is true. Jesus is so adamant and he's so blunt, especially when it comes to breaking up marriages. If your eye's going to do it, cut it out, tear it out, gouge it out, rip it out, throw it away. He's warning us. We've got to ask, why is this so bad? Why is adultery so bad? And I want to give you three quick cosmic reasons why giving the eye to a married woman is vile. And the first one is very simply is this. The adulterer, this is a reason why it's so vile. The adulterer tries to overthrow the authority of God. Every one of you men and women, but mainly with men, every time that you looked at a woman with lustful intent and enticed her to leave her marriage, you're overthrowing the authority of God. Sometimes in marriages and in ceremonies, we hear Jesus speak, Matthew 19, a man shall leave his father and his mother and hold fast to his wife. The two shall become one flesh, so they are no longer two but one flesh. Then this bit. What therefore God has joined together, let no man separate. Man, what are you doing trying to give the eye to a woman and separate what God has joined together? We've got to be careful there, because are we trying to usurp God's authority? He has joined this together for his decree, for his reasons. And who am I to try and entice and bring her out? That's the first reason why it's cosmic. The second cosmic reason why giving the eye to a married woman is vile is because the adulterer is trying to break up the metaphor of the covenant marriage between Christ and his church. You try and break up a marriage with enticing to adultery, what you're doing is you're trying to shut down, break, destroy the metaphor. That's the purpose of marriage. The purpose of marriage was that God could show the love Christ has for his church. Man represents Christ, the wife, the church, and that union, our marriages, is supposed to reflect some of that. Paul said it like this, if you want a place. Again, going right back to creation. Therefore, a man shall leave his father and mother and hold fast to his wife. The two shall become one flesh. You can almost picture Paul scratching his head. He says, this mystery is profound. And I'm saying that it refers to Christ and the church. Marriage is supposed to show that. It's the sign for Christ and our marriage to him. Men, when you're trying to break up a marriage or you're trying to entice the woman, you're trying to break the metaphor, the sign, the picture. You're trying to say, I will take the bride of Christ away. But Jesus says about his church, I will build my church and the gates of hell shall not prevail against her. And so I cannot also help to see that this warning is for the church of Christ as well. If there's a member within this body that will cause it to sin, tear it out, cut it out, throw it away. We know Jesus speaks to us personally. I know you guys all read the Bible personally too, but you've got to read the Bible too as God and Jesus speaking to us as the body. We know Jesus does that. Wouldn't Jesus also be talking to his wife, us, his bride, his own body, the church? If a man would look at breaking up the covenant of God has made with his wife, would we not caution that man? Well, then Jesus is saying, you do that, you're playing with my bride. Cut that member. Tear out that member. Throw that member away from the body, lest the whole body get thrown into hell. It's sobering. We will eventually get there in Matthew 18. When we cut off or tear out a member, it will be with always open arms of mercy, praying for repentance, so when they come back, we hug them. But if they're trying to break up the body, cause it to sin, we will exercise church discipline, which we'll see at this rate of going through Matthew in about 10 years. We will graft them back. Look how radical Jesus is. Jesus is so radical. The third cosmic reason why giving the eye to a married woman is vile is because it shows who are the sons of the devil, because they imitate the sign and the devil. When Paul was concerned for the church's behavior, he told the church in Corinth, he said this, I feel a divine jealousy for you, since I betrothed you to one husband, to present you as a pure virgin to Christ. What Paul says is that he's so worried about the church because he's bringing her as a bride to Christ. So she keeps falling, keeps sinning. This is what he's afraid of. I'm afraid that as the serpent deceived Eve by his cunning, your thoughts will be led astray from sincere and pure devotion to Christ. Can you see the analogy? Like the serpent deceived Eve. Did God really say, come? Who had a covenant with God and had a husband there. Come. Did God really? I'll show you a better way. I'll show you something more. I'll show you something that's desirable to the eyes. When we do that within ourselves, we show that heart, that thought, that attitude that Satan himself has done before. Adultery. Adulterers act like the son of the devil rather than sons of God. It destroys the marriage. I want you to see that Jesus thinks so highly of marriage that he would say anyone that gives the eye to a woman to entice her to sin is going to hell. But what you've got to see from that is that what's God like? He loves us so much and is jealous for us to be with him, that even that those who are willing, wanting to shatter that kind of marriage, he will throw them to hell. That's how much God has got you and loves you. So Jesus cautions, if your right eye causes you to sin, tear it out and throw it away, for it is better for you, it is better that you lose one of your members than that your whole body be thrown into hell. If your right hand causes you to sin, cut it off, throw it away, for it is better that you lose one of your members than that your whole body go into hell. Now, when Jesus talks about the right eye and the right hand, he's not thinking about self-pleasure, especially with the right hand. He's not God that he's thinking the most important part of your body, the eyeball or the right hand. He says it's so important that you strive and you be violent and brutal to do every extreme, give every extreme measure to avoid hell, that you would be willing to cut out the most important part of your body that causes you to sin. Cut it off. Just get it rid of it. You've got to throw it away. And that's what Jesus is calling us to. He doesn't
mean to be taken seriously, but he does talk in a way that he says, bring violence to sin. Destroy it. Paul would say, put to death what is earthly in you. You know, in modern times, if you want a metaphor or a picture in your brains of what you should look like spiritually, you think about it. How do you look at yourself in your mind's eye when Jesus says, man, if sin causes you, if there's something body part of yours like your eye that causes you to sin, tear it out. And if your hand, if that causes you to sin, cut it off. Later on, we're going to see, man, if your foot causes you to sin, chop that off as well. What picture do you have in your head? I cannot help but think of things like Moby Dick. I can't help but think of a pirate. Man, I've got that in my head. You know what I look like in my spiritual mind? I'm a one-eyed, patched guy with one hook as a hand and one leg, one piece of wood as a stump for my leg, because there's a lot of stuff in my life that causes me to sin, man. I'm pretty soon I'm going to become just a stump myself, just a torso. See, he's talking about spiritually killing, isn't he? Because you know what happens? Sin is in the heart. If I cut off my left hand, my right hand's going to sin. I'm going to have to cut off my other right hand. If my left foot causes me to sin, you know what's going to happen? My right foot will cause me to sin. Chop out my right eye within my left eye. That's not what's going to cure sin. What's going to cure sin is if Jesus Christ, by his wonderful works and the power of the Holy Spirit, comes into your heart and transplants you with a new one. That will cause you to fight sin. Some men understand Jesus telling them that they're just the sinners and they'll be sinners forever. You know what Jesus is doing right now? He says, kingdom people, they fight sin. There's not going to be a time when you're going to get to heaven and you're going to say, man, I didn't mean to actually cause this woman to fall in adultery. I mean, it just happened. You know how? And Jesus says, well, why have you got two eyes? Did you cut out an eye? Well, no. Jesus is that type of teacher. Don't sugarcoat him. Don't dilute his teaching. Jesus is that tough with sin. If you are close to sinning the whole time, he expects you to cut it off, tear it out, gouge it out. That's how bad hell is. That's how bad sin is. Look at Jesus. Look at him as a loving teacher. He will tell it to you straight. There's so many churches in the world now probably not even preaching about hell, not even preaching about sin, not even preaching about brutal violence against sin. We need to be ruthless, Providence. Kill the sin. Lest we end up, as Jesus says, should we repeat it like he did? Hell. And look at the way he speaks. Cut it out, throw it away. You know why? Because what we tend to have a tendency with our sin, we cuddle out. We love our sin. Personally, you know what I'm talking about. I love my sin so much that what I do is I just tear it out for a little bit and then I'll go and put it in the freezer. And then I'll go away. And then I'll just take it out of the freezer and thaw it. Put it back in. Oh, and then the disgust. Tear it out again. Put it in the freezer for next time. He says, gouge it out. Cut it out. Got it? Throw it away. The parallel, lest you be thrown into hell. What a way to teach. But he gives us a way out. He is the one that never sinned, came to die for us on Calvary for all of us who do sin. When the Holy Spirit has possessed us and given us a new heart, it means that you will still sin, but sin won't have bondage over you. You won't be enslaved to sin, but enslaved to his righteousness. He has paid it all for us. As you're thinking of yourselves as pirates, I'm sure you are now. I hope you are. I am. I guess it also tells us what Jesus is saying to us. You want to follow me? It cost me being torn to shreds, cut up so that you won't have to be. But you want to follow me? It's going to cost you something. You're going to end up looking like a pirate. He says to anyone that would dare follow him, he tells his disciples, if anyone would come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross and follow me. The taking up the cross part, people think that is so romantic. It means picking up your coffin and following Jesus. Giving the eye, beloved, can warn us of danger, like my mum. But also giving the eye to someone we shouldn't can land us in danger. I say, let us have an eye for our Lord Jesus Christ, who is the only one that can save us from danger, the danger of our sin, the danger of hell. Let us have eyes for him and him alone. Allow me to pray. Lord, we ask that you would be honored by the preaching of your word, but you would be honored of all repentant hearts today. Lord, we have sinned. We have looked lustfully with intent. And we ask that you would take it from all us men here in Providence. But I also have to pray for the women, Lord. I'm sure there has been more than one. Forgive us, Lord. For now we know that the marriage is so sacred to you that when we engage in this lustful intent, this looking to commit adultery, Lord, it is usurping your authority on the marriage. Lord, we also believe that it is a metaphor for the love of Christ and the church. Let us not be ones that in our lives will paint a picture of those who want to destroy the church. Oh, Lord, I ask that you would allow us greater strength to be sons of God and not sons of the devil. To your greater glory, Jesus, I ask this. Amen.